Dad, I've got something to tell you.
What's going on this time? Has he given you grief? I thought you were looking a bit peaky. Where is he, that little?
No, Dad, I'm pregnant.
Why didn't you say you were up the duff? That's lovely news, Trace.
Thanks, Dad.
You didn't waste any time, did you? You only moved in together at Christmas. Get in, Gary. I'm going to call him One Shot Gary now. Dad!
Mum, I think it's time we told Dad I'm pregnant. And by we, I mean you.
Koi gal nahi yaar, tell him it's okay, you're married now.
I know, but I don't want him to think, you know.
What?
That we, you know.
That you what?
That we actually did the thing you do to end up getting pregnant. That we...
prayed.
Yes, prayed. We did a lot of praying together.
What? How much?
Look, here he is now.
Sunyo ji, ek good news hai.
Huh?
Pinky is going to have a baby. Chal, never mind.
Never mind?
I mean, very nice. It's very soon, isn't it? Must have started praying straight away. Hai Rabba, my little girl.
Mom, it's okay. Just don't make direct eye contact for the next 8 months.
Don't worry, I won't.
And start wearing a shawl.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. I'm Mummy Imperfect, aka Rena. How are you all doing? How's the New Year's resolutions going? Broken any yet? Well, let me tell you about mine. So, I spoke about New Year's resolutions with my panel last week, and I don't think I mentioned that the little things that I'm supposed to be doing each day are flossing my teeth and doing pelvic floor exercises, because my mum has basically set these resolutions for me. I'm supposed to apparently start doing this before I regret it, or when I'm like 60 or 70 years old, and end up like weeing myself every time I sneeze. I don't want to do that. So the pelvic floor exercises, I'm not doing so good with them. I kind of forget all the time. Flossing the teeth, I am actually keeping up with, especially since I went to the dentist and they said to me that when you brush your teeth, you are actually only removing 60% of all the dirt and bacteria on your teeth, and the rest of the 40% is what you can remove via flossing. So I'm listening to the dentist and my mum, and I am doing my best. But enough about that today. This show is going to be a little bit different because I'm flying solo for a change. So you're going to get a nice little bite-sized chunk just of me. And I'm going to take this opportunity to mix it up a little bit. So firstly, over the last week, I read a few things online which really tell the truth about parenting. So comedian and YouTube star Colleen Ballinger, who's also known as Miranda Sings, she shared a picture on Twitter showing a realistic version of what being a mother looks like, complete with a messy bun and leaking milk on her top, baby bath, wee on her top, surrounded by dirty dishes. Hell yeah, I totally identify with that. I literally stopped looking like that just recently because my little one is 2 years old, so I'm kind of on the up. Obviously, there has been irreversible damage that's been done to me. My stomach's never going to be the same again. I've got bags under my eyes that will never go away. Grey hairs. Thank God for hair dye and concealer. That is all I'm saying. So, also, David Bowie's son, Duncan Jones, who is a screenwriter, he came out also on social media and said this. I have 2 kids, 2.5 years and 9 months old respectively. I'll tell you something I never see anyone admit. They are exhausting, frustrating and life destabilizing. They are really fun. Sure, smiles are great, hugs are lovely, but it's hard and not obviously a good choice in life. I hear you, Duncan Jones. I totally agree. It is very hard. Sometimes I literally think, what the hell is this? It is so hard. It is so exhausting. I don't want to do it anymore. I feel like clocking off at 6 p.m. every day and think, roll on bedtime. I didn't sign up for this. What is going on? However, there are beautiful moments, heartfelt moments of amazingness scattered through the day. very scattered actually, there's literally a few minutes a day where I would say my house looks like what you see in these magazines or what you imagine parenting to be. So kids sitting nicely, getting on with things, not fighting, not making a mess, not smashing anything, all getting on, all being lovely, using their manners, whilst parents sit there having a nice cup of tea or a glass of wine, looking immaculate. Well, in the magazines they look immaculate, I sure as hell don't look immaculate. So and then when that happens, I think, this is beautiful, this is what I signed up for. Would I change it? No, I would not change it for the world, because these three little maniacs who are 9, 8 and 2 are absolutely draining, but they are also a lot of fun and they are my people. So I could go on and on about this, but you know what, I'm going to give you this piece of spoken word which should explain it a lot better than I'm doing right now.
I got the perfect family, the man of my dreams, but being a grown-up is harder than it seems. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I'm responsible for three other beings, that's three little people looking up at me. I make it look easy, but I ain't got a clue, just like all the other mums out there, and the ones that claim they've got it all together just aren't being true. Their kids are the ones in the park beating other children till they're black and blue. I'll be the first one to hold my hands up and say that just like my eyeliner, I'm winging parenthood. I can make it look convincing I'm a mummy headliner. I can look as composed as a swan, but underneath the water, I'm paddling like mad, trying to catch a break so I can move on, ticking off that never-ending to-do list one by one, trying to hear my thoughts amidst the crying and chatter and the shouts of mummy wipe my bum, dragging the kids out the door because we're late for the school run. The cook, the cleaner, the chauffeur, the tutor, the cheerleader, the general housekeeper. I should be on a six-figure salary. Yet this is the job where I won't get promoted. But it's to this role that I'm most devoted. I'm torn between wanting them to grow up so I can drop the night feeds, but scared of when they're older and won't need me. Half the time I want to fast forward to bedtime so I can stare exhausted into space or have a glass of wine. The rest of the time I want to hold on to each moment before they're grown up. When I get time to myself, I'm racked with mum guilt, feeling bad when I leave my little ones and there are tears spilt. But then I stand back and look at what our love built, and I look into their eyes and say to mummy, you are perfect. I will cherish you forever. Love, mummy imperfect.
So another story from the last few days which made me think shut the front door was Cardi B's twerk video. There's some controversy brewing on Twitter about it. So the video came out last week and it is just a celebration of twerkers. Honestly, there is like so much going on there. And some people weren't quite so down with it. So a conservative writer named Stephanie Hamill tweeted at Cardi, accusing her of not empowering women. So what she actually said, this is a tweet. In the era of hashtag Me Too, how exactly does this empower women? Leftists. Cardi B, feel free to chime in. Thanks. Obviously, she did chime in. Cardi B chimed in. And she tweeted a reply. It says to women that I can wear and not wear whatever I want, do what I want, and that no still means no. So Stephanie, chime in. If I twerk and be half naked, does that mean I deserve to get raped and molested? I want to know what a conservative woman like you thinks. Totally agree with Cardi B. If you watch this video, take 4 minutes out of your life to watch it actually. Okay, there's a lot of naked flesh on show, but it's really actually women owning their own sexuality. There's not men throwing money at them. It looks like everyone's having a blast, to be honest. I watched it and I actually thought, why can I twerk? I have never even tried it, but let me try. And I couldn't. I looked like I was having some kind of fit. So what did I do? Went onto Google, typed in, how do you twerk? There are videos, there are instructional videos on this on YouTube, and after having watched them, I have to say that I still can't, or I can in very slow motion. It's really rubbish, and I don't really think I'm going to give this any more time than I have done now, because, you know, let's face it, I'm a mum of three, I'm 40 years old, I'm not going to be on the club scene, standing on a podium, twerking, smacking my own backside anytime soon, but it makes you want to twerk, it makes you want to join in this video. And, you know, women are getting molested, they're getting raped, they're getting harassed, whatever they wear. They could be fully clothed, they could have like high necklines, you know, skirts down to the floor, and they are still seen as sex objects. So you might as well own your sexuality. And this is my view anyway, that you might as well own it, you know. No one has the right to do anything to you. Basically, I agree with Cardi B. What do you guys think? Leave me some comments. Let me know. Now, is it still okay to listen to R. Kelly? I have been reading a lot of stuff about him recently. I just read an article today. The article is called R. Kelly Insisted I Have a Sex Trainer. Now, it's a ex-girlfriend of his, Asante McGee, and she claims that in the summer of 2016, she went to live in his house in Georgia, and there were other women there. There were really odd, weird, strict rules. He kind of coerced her into doing stuff that she didn't really want to do. He was very controlling. This is all according to her. And I mean, I'm sure you know that there have been a lot of other women who said similar things. Now, one of my friends said to me, well, you know, he hasn't been proven guilty, has he? And no, he hasn't. But there are so many dodgy things coming out about him. Maybe it's only a matter of time before he is found guilty of something. And meanwhile, I used to be a really big fan of his songs. I grew up listening to his music, but I can't quite listen to them now. And there's things, lyrics like, my mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yeah. Sorry. They just have taken on slightly different meaning. So I'm not quite comfortable listening to those anymore. I don't know. It's a difficult one, because then you've got artists like Michael Jackson, who had a lot of controversy regarding the child sexual abuse scandal, and his music is celebrated. I love his music, and I don't feel that way about his music. I don't feel like there's any kind of sick links to it, for me anyway. Some people might. I don't know. It's just a little bit different in the case of R. Kelly, and I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if we should maybe have treated Michael Jackson's music in the same way. Who knows? I think it's still too early to tell with R. Kelly, because it's kind of like it's an issue that's ongoing. There are things coming out about him every day in the media. I don't know. What do you think? Leave me a comment. Let me know. Now, the last story I've got for you is about a male model called Jinu Mahadevan, who has called out colorism. And he's 20 years old. He's Norwegian, but of Sri Lankan heritage. And he made his international debut in 2017 in Paris, and his profile has skyrocketed. So he's modeled for fashion powerhouses, including Versace, Alexander McQueen and Burberry. So, and he's only one of a handful of Asian models that are making waves in the fashion world, like Neelam Gill and Lakshmi Menon. Anyway, so he was spotted on a bus, and he was apparently interested in being a astrophysicist or something. But anyway, so the fashion industry had other plans for him. Now, he's doing really, really well, but he said that he got a lot of negative feedback, and it was mainly from Indians, and many Indian people thought that a dark-skinned guy shouldn't necessarily be in fashion. Now, he's a good-looking boy, and he's just, to me, he's a normal Indian colour, the normal mid-brown South Asian colour that many South Asian people are. And I think that's where a lot of Asian people can't actually cope with it, because in Bollywood, most of the people who are successful are light-skinned. No one's really dark. There are some people who look like a normal Indian skin colour. So, for example, Biparsha Basu, even Priyanka a little bit, and some of the male actors, Shah Rukh Khan, a few others. But by and large, fair skin is considered to be better skin. light skin equal right skin in the eyes of South Asian people. I have spoken about this subject so much. I've written blog posts about it. You might have heard me talk about it with my sisters in previous podcasts. But I think it's disgusting. I absolutely hate it. And I've been on the receiving end of this kind of criticism in the past, because like me and my sisters are all different skin tones. So my middle sister is very, very light skinned. I'm kind of medium wheatish, as people would say. And my little sister would be classed as dark by most Indian people. Anyway, so me and my middle sister have 3 years difference between us. And as we were growing up, loads of people used to say, oh, your sister's prettier than you, isn't she? Because she's fairer. Now, I didn't care. I was like, my sister is prettier than me. And what? She's pretty. I'm glad my sister's pretty. But the whole you have dark skin, so you're not attractive thing did get to me a little bit. Because when I was younger, I did actually feel, oh, I wish I was fairer. And I used to put like these turmeric and ground flour masks on my face and stuff to try and become a little bit fairer. Now I love getting a tan. I'm very proud of my skin tone, and it's taken a while to get there though. And I really feel for people who are younger and not quite secure with themselves, and they get all this about skin color, because honestly, when is the time going to come when we actually celebrate our skin color as Asian people? I don't know. I'm so passionate about this, I've written a poem about it, and that's what I'm gonna play you out with. So enjoy this, and I'll speak to you. You will hear me next episode. Take care. Bye.
Dark but pretty. Pretty dark. Dusky. Not light enough. Try fair and lovely. All things I've heard way earlier than I should have, before I could rock this hue like I could have. From an adolescent with a complex, now a grown woman with my own flex. I'm tired of walking in colonial footprints. Now I'm rewriting the script, telling it like it is. Shouting it loud in case you can't take a hint. So wake up now and smell the coffee. And if you don't like coffee, there's chocolate and toffee. Caramel, mocha, a plethora of brown. Get with the program, put the fairness cream down. Every time I hear Chittiakalaya, a piece of me dies. I need an Asian formation, a dissy beehive. Cause I got a mango ajar in my bag swag, and I like my baby air with black hair and brown skin. I like a tan and a healthy dose of melanin. So I'm switching off Ganagar and turning up Badshah, cause Gargajul just raised the bar, paying dues to Rangsavala. I always knew I was a Garam Mamala, it's just the rest of our race that needed reminding. So step out of the shade, into the light, and stop hiding. Come sit in the sun with me. God knows we need the vitamin D. It's about time we stop the self-loathing. Didn't you know that freedom is ours now? Didn't you know that the empire is done? So let's build our own, to honour ancestors that were kissed by the sun, where we won't be toned down by anyone. It's not an E-light club, there's an open door policy. Light skin sisters are welcome too, but don't expect to rock a yellow sari like we do. It's about time that someone raises stakes. Diversity is beautiful, but let us have our day. To my dark skinned ladies, there's something I want to say. Be proud, be gorgeous, go out there and slay.